Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Priory in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Alcott. Let's begin by asking the intercession of she who is the seat of wisdom for our show. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So today, we were talking about possible topics, and one thing that I'd like to talk about is a problem we're having with, I think, young people, you know, and how they hear the message of the Church. Some recent statistics have suggested that young people begin to, when they leave the Church, actually stop believing about the age of 13, which is very early when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It is the age where, for some of us, that's when we got our vocations. Mm-hmm. Not just a question of commitment to Jesus Christ, but how are we going to follow Jesus Christ specifically? I mean, that was about the age when I received, I think, the first inklings of a call to religious life for me. So I think one of the difficulties is that the Church is often perceived and presented by the media as an ideological voice commanding a certain morality with which parents can use to reinforce their authority over their children. And it's the, you know, they're the group of sour-faced individuals who stand on one side yelling at you and destroying all your fun. and so I think when we look at how what Christ is actually calling us to, we maybe need to look at this differently. You know, because Christ is in fact not calling us to a moral straitjacket. He's in fact calling us to freedom, to real virtue, and the freedom that accompanies that. And that's not well seen, I think. Mm-hmm. There was a sermon on this point which was given during our general chapter for the order in Vietnam just passed. But one of the council fathers did give an excellent sermon talking about this problem of how Christ gets presented as I said, a straitjacket on your liberty, rather than a plan for authentic freedom and personal authenticity. And that's maybe, I think, what maybe we can profitably meditate on this morning.
Right. In the letter to the Galatians, at the very beginning of chapter 5, we have this familiar passage: "For freedom Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." For freedom Christ has set us free. St. Paul is talking in that particular passage mainly about the whole quandary in the early church about whether one needed to be initiated into Judaism in order to become a follower of Christ. But that one verse really speaks to the ways in which we sometimes think we're pursuing freedom, but actually are falling into something that does exactly the opposite.
You know? One of the things I think is characteristic of modern culture, and culture in every age, but I think particularly these days, is how many slaveries we can fall into in the name of personal liberty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's drink or drugs, whether it's personal relationships, the fear of not having them, you know, a willfulness about how the world should be structured, you know, the voices of anger.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thousand ways in which people can, in fact, become a slave to their passions or to something else. You know, mm-hmm. I remember meeting once in my life a lawyer who could not cast, set a date for a real estate closing or meet with a client without casting horoscopes for all people involved. I mean, real spiritual. I mean, that's gets on the edge of the diabolical kind of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about this, and I think a lot of people have discovered a certain compulsiveness in their life when it comes to things like food or drink or sex. You know, whether you talk about liquor or, you know, food or pornography, things like this,
mm-hmm.
that they keep seeming to fall into the same patterns and can't get out of them. And yet the world keeps talking about these things as an expression of liberty when people are, in fact, not free at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can make a useful distinction between liberty and license.
Right.
So license is, well, there's a great line. As I said, this is for every age. Great line, for the last line of the book of Judges. So that's Judges 21, what is it, 21:25. And it's this line. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own sight. And this is not freedom. What the text is getting at is God was supposed to be king in Israel during the time of the judges, but nobody was treating God as king.
Hmm.
No, you know, everybody did what they wanted to do, not what God wanted for them. He who sees further, he who has shaped the human being for love and not for slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when you do what you will, to do your own will is in fact license and in fact is a path to slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are made to serve. That's what love is about, that self-sacrificing love we see in Jesus' cross. That's what humanity is for. And yet when we give it to something less than that love, then we end up in bondage to something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's fear of death, whether it's, as I said, drink or drugs, alcohol, substances, whether it's to a view of a utopia that we are going to get to, you know, by the strength of our own force, you know, a view of the human as, you know, making seizing truth and then living it to the fullest, because all truth is fictive, and this is what Mussolini calls the genesis of fascism. And all these things, we see a willingness to call license liberty. Mm-hmm. And when it's not free at all, liberty is, in fact, the power to do the right thing.
Right. And that's what we're made to do.
Yeah. John Paul II, I think, once spoke of authentic liberty this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like musical analogies. And one thing that this brings to mind is, you know, you sit in front of a piano keyboard, you know,
mm-hmm.
And in a sense, you know, you could say, well, hit any key, you know, touch any key you want.
Be free,
you know, and if you don't know what you're doing and you're not willing to learn and you're not willing to practice and you're not willing to listen to someone else, you know, you can make some interesting noise.
And empty the room.
but then take someone who says, well, I have this inkling that it's possible to make truly beautiful music with this mm-hmm. piano, you know, and so I'm willing to, and when you do that, when you find someone who knows how and who is willing to teach you and has the patience to do so, you know, all of a sudden you start doing things that seem like, you know, putting you in a straitjacket. You mean I have to keep practicing the scales? You mean I have to practice my fingering? I can't just use any finger I want. You know, I have to use this way of holding my fingers and my hands. And it sounds like slavery. But in fact, by the time you've been doing this for some time, you actually have a deeper freedom. You have the freedom to listen to something and immediately play it. It becomes second nature. Whereas if you never got to that point of learning, you would just, you know, the license would just, you would reach your plateau extremely quickly.
Right, and never progress.
And never go any further.
Yeah. Yeah. St. Thomas Aquinas talks about rule and regulation being necessary, especially for two classes of people, for beginners, that they may learn the structure of their discipline, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes righteous living. That includes the geography of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and and the other group is the evildoers, so that that it can be clearly ascertained that what they are doing is wrong and needs to be stopped or punished, etc.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but for the saint, I think, you know, the one who is following Jesus in freedom, there is no sense of stricture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no sense of stricture.
Right, right. And there's so many things that, you know, there's some obvious things that can make us unfree. Someone who just starts by liking to party with their friends and drinks, you know, every weekend, or to start drugs, eventually they become enslaved in a way that they never intended and never envisioned. But there's even littler things that can become unfreedoms, you know, just watching a lot of TV or becoming so enmeshed in politics that that's all you think about, you know, or anything in your life that kind of consumes you so much that you can't see outside of it.
It's a real chain.
Yeah. It's like, or it's something that colors the way you see everything. You know, to the point that you're very limited in what you can even see.
Right, exactly. There's no balance,
right,
because, again, constantly driven.
Right.
I think this is one of the notes of the slavery, is that one is driven in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sort of interesting, I think, with the sin of Acedia, you know, the noonday devil, you know, the spiritual slothfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Because it often expresses itself in a frenetic commitment to action in the world.
Mm-hmm.
To that when you lack the spiritual serenity, the sooner spiritual commitment to those parts of you that are deepest and most truly free in God, then you will find something else to be busy with.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And this itself is another kind of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And if young people, I think, would look around at the world, they'll see all kinds of slaveries, both for their own age group and certainly their elders. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't like, I mean, we don't like the way the world is. I don't think every generation coming into the world has been satisfied with how the world is, because the world is unsatisfactory.
Mm-hmm.
But then the question is, what's your response to that? And that can be either the actions of somebody who feels themselves unfree in a couple of different ways, or you can follow him who is uniquely free, as I said, who could even lay down his life. Yeah. You're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio today by Father Stephen Alcott. We've been discussing authentic freedom in Christ.
Right, and so Christ is the one who is truly free. He's more free than any human person is, you know, even though he is fully human, and yet he takes the form of a slave. He voluntarily allows himself to be put to death.
And I think at the root of this, you can see that at the root of his freedom is his free gift of himself to his Father's purposes.
Mm-hmm.
That he gives himself. And this self-donation is at the heart of what the heights of human existence are. You know, and I think we recognize that even in the world. The soldier who jumps on a grenade to save his buddies in the squad, the fireman who rushes in to the burning building to rescue a baby. You know, these lay down their lives for the sake of other people. They risk their lives for the sake of the common good.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the Lord does in a preeminent way. When he obeys his Father's will by embracing that cross, which not only is the place where is enacted the sacrifice that makes peace between heaven and earth, that washes away from sin, that breaks the power of the devil's hold on humanity, but also enables him, and this is something I think in my own life I've been becoming more and more conscious of, enables him to be wherever we are in our loneliness, our hurt, our brokenness, our own desolation. You know, by his drinking of that, the depths of the cup of human bitterness of life. You know, he is able to be there for us. And again, for us and us individually, in a sense, lay down that life of his that we might be healed. Mm-hmm. You know, this total donation of himself to the other. This is where the heights of human existence are, where we really see human freedom. Mm-hmm. If something holds you back from that, then you're not free from that kind of a thing.
A freedom to give, not so much a freedom to take.
Right, exactly. A freedom to give oneself as a gift. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is what love within marriage is. It's, I think, an explanation of, it's the entry to understanding what the life of the consecrated vows is, you know, that to be disponible, as the French say, to be able to address the needs that the Holy Spirit summons you to, whatever your vocation is in Holy Church, and be there as Christ needs you to be, laying down your life in imitation of his own great sacrifice. And this is authentic freedom. This is a life actually worth living. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at so many people these days, you know, who seem to not think they have lives worth living. You know, we people, you know, prominent people who die by suicide, you know, was supposedly with all the world's goods, with, you know, reputation, with a settled career. Mm-hmm. You see troubled young men, you know, essentially committing suicide while armed with, you know, semi-automatic weapons. Mm-hmm. You know, but often, you know, whatever the cause is that they say they're giving themselves to, you know, something which ends in death and desolation and destruction for them and for others. This is not freedom.
Right.
This is not healing. This is not wholeness. This world has nothing to offer, I think, a person who's just starting out in life and wants to see what it is to really live as a human being, to be a mensch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are other ways in which someone can break out of those unfreedoms, to break out of those slaveries that began with license, you know, and ended up in bondage? What are the ways in which we can come to that freedom of Christ?
I think the first thing is, I mean, this sort of goes straight out of the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I mean, the first thing is to admit to yourself that your life is you're caught in slavery, that your life is unmanageable, that you are not in control of your life and it's not going well.
So it's like it's a surrender.
Yeah, it has to be. You have to recognize the truth of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and having recognized the truth of the situation, you can maybe begin. Excuse me. You can perhaps begin to imagine that there might be a power in the universe that can do better than you're doing right now, because what you're doing isn't really great. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you let the Lord, you know, begin to take control of it. So I think that's the first place of making, in fact, a place for him, because the bondage to our own will is just another kind of slavery. Wanting what I want and committing myself to my own sweet will is to make my will an idol. And that's another kind of slavery. Mm-hmm. I want what I want because I want it. And it's always going to be at root selfish. Mm-hmm. And will never be that kind of selfless giving, that free donation of self that you see in the life of Christ. You know, so that's the first thing, I think. And then we can talk about specifics. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, different diseases in the world will require different remedies. I mean, if you have one of these compulsions, you know, food, drink, sex, credit cards, dice, whatever it is, then you need usually a two-pronged plan. You need a plan for the moment of temptation. You need to see, you know, if we were talking drinking, for instance, we'd be saying, how do we get you to stop drinking, number one, but also then why are you drinking in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
And both those questions have to be answered. And a new life constructed based in the authentic freedom that comes from Jesus Christ, based in the pursuit of virtue rather than, you know, accumulating stuff. That's as St. John says for his first letter, you know, the pride of the eyes, whether you're talking about the desire for relationship, commitment, intimacy, you know, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, which is this idolatry of one's own will, mm-hmm. moment to moment, rather than seeking to the will of the Father, moment to moment. That is the imitation of Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're also made for happiness. We're made to right. seek the good, to seek what is truly mm-hmm. full of life. And so when people surrender, I mean, I guess on the one hand, if you realize that you're in slavery, you're in bondage, that you're surrendering because you realize you're not in a good place. But you still need that motivation to see the good,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if we only look at Christ as, okay, here's a life of sacrifice, you know, don't you think people need more? They need to see not just what we're going to sacrifice, but what he promises on the other side of that sacrifice.
Yeah, I mean, and I think you see that sweetness in the lives of the saints.
Mm-hmm.
You know, St. Patrick, you know, our patron in Columbus, was taken as a slave, mm-hmm. you know, actual slave. He was called to live among the pagans for a number of years. He had no Bible, no Mass. He learned to value these and consider them sweet while he was tending pigs and sheep in the wet slopes of Slievemish,
mm-hmm.
in the west of Ireland. But he got a taste for prayer, for an intimacy with the Lord. And I think that's maybe in our world of so much sensory barrage, that may be the hardest thing for young people to get involved with, just to find the Lord in the silence,
mm-hmm.
and to go out into God's trees in the woods and just talk to him heart to heart, you know, put down the machines, you know, mm-hmm. and then ask him to discover you. You know, Thomas Merton mentions this in his book, I think, Seeds of Contemplation. But to pray for your own discovery, to pray that you can develop this intimacy, because I do think that sort of is at the base of this. If you're going to invite God into your life, it's going to have to be on his terms, mm-hmm. not yours. Otherwise, you're idolizing your will again.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very complicated set of traps.
Mm-hmm.
But, mm-hmm. I mean, I know in my own vocation, that's sort of where it started. You know, just wanting, okay, God, show yourself to be who you say you are.
Right.
You know, challenge him.
Right. Because you originally wanted to be a lawyer, right?
No, actually.
No?
No. Actually, my first thing was to be a Trappist.
Really?
From the seventh grade.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So about the same time people are giving up on religion, I was just saying, yeah, I want a deeper relationship.
And what drew you to that? Did you read something?
I went on a retreat with some family members at a Trappist monastery.
Okay.
And I'd read up on them because I tended to be bookish, mm-hmm. even as a child,
mm-hmm.
surprisingly. And and so found out a bit about their life before I came and then tasted it, and that really did bowl me away.
Mm.
But that's my story. Right, Jesus,
but something attracted you. It was something that was attractive.
It was the beauty of it, the peace mm-hmm. of it, the richness of the sung liturgy,
mm-hmm.
you know, all these beautiful things, for me, drew me deeper into the search for the God who I knew was out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about it, the church is an extraordinary thing. We've been, you know, chugging along for 2,000 years here. It's certainly not the intelligence of our leaders, you know, or even the holiness
That's true.
Of the individual people, you know, including the clergy. But it's the promises of Christ that mm-hmm. remain true, you know, century after century after century.
Right.
And this is a work of God.
Mm-hmm.
And to enter into it more deeply is to find what I am as a human being. You know, I'm not an automaton. I'm finding a new way of a new key in which to live out a sainthood after the manner of Jesus Christ, humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that you took a retreat. It was by going on that retreat, by getting away from everything
right.
else
yeah.
for a while, that kind of opened up that that avenue, or that had begun to open up in your reading,
right?
You know, yeah. on the life of the
growing Travis. Up in a hunting shooting family. You know, that was we getting into the woods. You know, getting into mm-hmm. nature. That was also an important part of it, I think.
Yeah, and that's something that even today, I mean, you know, there are people today, many young people today, that do have some appreciation for that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go on the Camino of Santiago, not everyone's there for religious reasons. You know,
right?
But they have a sense in which. Taking a long walk through the countryside, unplugging, you know, mm-hmm. from so many other aspects of your busy
right.
life can really help you, mm-hmm. you know, can dispose you to something greater, to greater guidance. So there, I think that's maybe a sign of hope, even in our own very yeah. wired culture.
Right. So, giving him an opportunity to break in is important,
mm-hmm.
you know, because otherwise we just, you know, are rattling our chains so loud that we can't hear him.
Huh. Right.
So, any rate, thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Priory in Columbus, and I've been joined in the studio today by Father Stephen Alcott. Let's end now in prayer. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.